Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How we doing?
I am delightful, just getting another week started with another Ancient Aliens marathon.
Oh, yes. Very nicely done. The hair in that program is something else as well.
I'm going to be that guy for Halloween one year.
Yeah, you should be. It's awesome. So, Corey, what do you make of this A.J. Brown stuff that keeps getting tossed out there? It's rumor season in the NFL, and Rich Cimini from ESPN throwing it out there that maybe the Jets are looking to make a big move at wide receiver. What do you make of all this stuff?
Well, I think more than anything, it's wishful thinking by the Jets. I think that the Jets are trying to will it to happen because they want to bring in Brown or Metcalf or a guy like Deebo Samuel because they're all on the last year of their contract, and they're trying to find out if any of these teams are going to squeal on the price to bring these guys back. And so the these names keep coming up. They don't come up from Titans camp. They don't come up from A.J. Brown camp. And his agent, they're purely coming up from the Jets, and the Titans have made it clear they want to bring AJ back. It sounds like Seattle could have a price for DK Metcalf, so maybe they should put their eggs more in that basket. I don't think the Titans have a ton to worry about unless Brown's camp wants a crazy amount of money, and you know it's all crazy at this point. But then you also have the price that's just the price of new in business in this day and age. And that's what they've got to figure out.
So what would you consider crazy or realistic, something that's right for both sides? Because if I'm on AJ's side, Corey, I say, yeah, okay, you can talk like low 20s or whatever now, but like by the end of that deal, I'm going to rank like 28th in the league among receivers or something, right? I mean, obviously that's always the discussion. It's like, where's the cap going? And we have to be forward thinking about this too. Like, what do you think is right? What's the sweet spot?
I don't know. That's always the old Julio Jones dilemma where he would get the deal to be the highest paid receiver. And then 2 years later, he's the ninth highest paid receiver. And he wants a new deal because he wants to be the highest paid receiver. You know, it's just understanding that, you know, whenever you sign that the deal's going to go up. I think one of the hard things, Joe, is that the cap has gone up so quickly. I mean, not the cap, but these deals. I mean, and the amount these receivers are making has gone up. I mean, you know, Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams jumping to 28 and 30. You know, it's like we bypassed 22 and 23.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that throws everything off. Writing a horrific contract for Christian Kirk for $17, $18 million a year throws everything off. I mean, I like Christian Kirk, but is he a $17, $18 million a year player? No. I mean, it makes that Corey Davis contract last year of $12 million a year look like an absolute steal. And, you know, that's why you're proactive with this stuff. So, you know, I think, unfortunately, for the Titans, that the sweet spot for AJ is probably going to be between $22 and $26 million. You know, that's a sweet spot for him. I don't know what a sweet spot is for them. But, you know, I think DJ Moore signed for $20 million, and I think who else is in there? Keenan Allen, Mike Williams is $20 million. And, you know, when you look at Mike Williams and what he's done, I don't know if what AJ's done, you know, blows that away. Because, I mean, again, I don't think AJ's hit 1,100 yards yet, you know, whether it be because of injury or inconsistency or what. But that is what it is.
Yeah.
Putting up Devontae Adams numbers. But, you know, his agent, as Teron Davenport told me last night, has the same agent as Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf, and he's going to push those three guys together because they're all going to be compared, I'm sure, and he's probably going to try to get them all similar deals. And I'm sure he's thinking that's closer to 25 than it is to 20.
So, Corey, as we're getting closer to the draft now, with it being less than a month away at this point, They've got Robert Woods in the fold now. We've talked about the need at wide receiver.
Which is a good deal now when you look at him at $10 million.
Absolutely.
It's like a steal.
Yeah, no question about that. So as you sit here today, what do you think the most likely route the Titans take with their first-round pick is, and how does quarterback factor into that for you?
Well, I think, you know, that's I continue to look at offensive line and receiver as one and 1A. You know, because with the way the AFC is set up with these uber offenses with quarterback play and weapons, you know, I think it's an arms race right now, and the Titans understand they got to be in it. And so the only, you know, the two best ways for them to get better offensively in round one is, you know, to draft a guy like Zion Johnson at guard, or to bring in one of these wide receivers. You know, now if you had a second round pick, you could do both. And be fine, because there's enough good ones at both position where in round two you know you'd be set. But so I think it's one of those two, with the outlier, the offsetter, the whatever you want to call it, being that there's a quarterback that they like that slides to them at 26. You know, that they really, really feel like could be their future. And, you know, is one of these guys that guy? I don't know. I don't know, because that's a really, really big decision to make. Because, I mean, I think the Packers made a decision on a guy like that, and it hasn't really worked out.
Thanks.
Just bringing that up. And so you know, but look, the Packers really liked Jordan Love. And that's the problem. I think that's one of the reasons why these people are willing to deal first-round picks now, because there are no guarantees. And so you trade for Jalen Ramsey because he's Jalen Ramsey. And so, you know, you can love Jordan Love, or you could love Desmond Ridder, or you could love, what's his name, Sam Howell at North Carolina. There's no guarantees. Now, you know, maybe in round three, what's his name at Nevada, Kevin Strong?
Carson Strong, yeah.
You know, maybe in round three he's there, and you're feeling good about him at round three. But again, if you're drafting a quarterback, to me, it's not drafting one to be your backup. You're drafting a guy to be the guy in a year or two. You know, you're doing the Patrick Mahomes, you know, thing of, you know, we're going to play with Tannehill this year, but, you know, next year or the year after, we're moving on. And so, if you're going to draft that guy in round one, you got to be sure. And, you know, quarterback is, you know, unless you're drafting Andrew Luck, I mean, even Trevor Lawrence, now he's in a craptastic situation in Jacksonville. You know, but even he, you know, he didn't light it up last year. He didn't elevate the Jaguars. I mean, they're still picking first, as last I recall. And so there's never guarantees about these guys. You know, Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning going 1-2, and, you know, which one was going to go? And, well, one of them turned out to be one of the top five ever, and one of them turned out to be on ESPN now talking about his issues in life.
Yes, and I was absolutely convinced Ryan Leaf was the next Dan Fouts, and I was wrong. So,
dude, look at the guy. He's like 6'6" with a cannon. I mean, there was no reason to think that he wasn't going to produce in the NFL. But so much of it is between the ears and what's in your chest.
So, Corey, a representative threw out $700 million on another program last week as the Titans, I guess, planned investment, which I haven't seen anywhere else, and they did not confirm that. The Titans put out a general statement that, you know, that they're going to, you know.
They're all in.
Yeah. I mean, but that number is a big number.
It is. And
that's right. They didn't confirm or deny. If that's the number, or if they're close that number, what does that mean for what's ahead in terms of all the discussion around financing the stadium?
Well, number one, we all agree there's going to be a new stadium, right? I mean, that's happening. And so the state's in for $500 million, and you can borrow $200 million from the NFL. So they're up to $1.4 billion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got to come up with probably in the neighborhood of $600 million to $1 billion more. That's what's realistic to me. You know, now whether you build a dome or a retractable dome could impact the price, could also impact the World Cup in what happens. And I think that that's one of the things the city has to think about. I know John Cooper told us that, you know, the city's not in the stadium building business. They aren't, but they are in the business of making money. So I think that they need to, I think that that issue will get, you know, resolved. You know, I was with you and another young man who wears ugly hoodies from time to time, and we were talking about whether the stadium is going to be retractable or not. And, you know, I made some calls on that. Everything I heard is there's been no talk of a retractable roof. I think that would be a mistake. But, you know, the thing that was brought up to me about it was, how often do these teams that have a retractable roof actually open it? Right. And that's legitimate. If you're only going to open it four times in 2 years, I do think the weather here is conducive to having it open for much of the season. That's just my opinion. And also,
I'm with you.
And it's conducive to concerts and some of the other things. We're in a good spot weather-wise to do that. But it's not my money, and, you know, the Titans may be looking at it from, this is what we can afford. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens, because I think, you know, how far and what level the stadium goes to depends on what the fourth investor brings to the table, and that would be the city at this point.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey? Great stuff as always. I'll forgive the Jordan Love shot you took at me. We'll talk again next week.
You know, it's amazing because I follow a bunch of Chicago Bears stuff, of course, on Twitter. And believe me, I hope Justin Fields is the real deal. I really do. But in Chicago, I mean, they think he's the Messiah and that the Packer dynasty is dead and the Justin Fields dynasty is upon us. And I'm just like, I hope these guys are right, otherwise, because they are headed in for a massive fall. I mean, if he doesn't come out this season with an S on his chest, he's in trouble.
Yo, watch out for those Lions.
And they're just sleeping on Goff and Campbell.
That's right.
I thought you guys were drafting Malik Willis now.
Yeah, get him up there and get after it. We'll see it on Hard Knocks, too.
Please don't say you guys.
You guys. Very northern thing to say, isn't it?
Great stuff. Corey, we appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Go Bears.
Bear down.
Nice walk.
Hashtag bear down.
From Corey Curtis there. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 16th. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're in there. You must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in says, Joe, let's just say hypothetically, and I mean hypothetically, the Lions become a Super Bowl contender. You're telling me you wouldn't be all in on the Lions again? I know deep down you're still a Detroit Lions fan at heart. This is coming from Matt from Camden on the text line.
You know, Matt, look, it's a fair question to ask. I'm not completely ruling out the possibility that I would rip my shirt off and paint a huge lion on my chest.
Dan Campbell tattoo.
And do a swan dive from the upper deck. And because, look, at that point, I think we would all know that Armageddon is upon us. So I'm not ruling out. I will say this, in all seriousness, I would feel really good for friends and family who have stuck with this franchise through thick and thin. I would feel great for them. I'd be happy for them. I would not, however, I would not have earned the right to be all on the Lions bandwagon. I disavowed the Lions when Barry Sanders retired. I have stuck with that. I have chosen a life of making fun of the Lions. It has been a much better life, but I have to stick with that. If they get good again, I can feel good for my people, but I cannot be a Lions fan. I can, however, drink from this beautiful Lions mug.
Yes, you can, which our streaming audience has the pleasure of seeing. Not every day, but I'd say at least once a week, maybe.
Yeah, the Lions mug's a frequent one.
Yeah, it's been a few appearances.
You have a couple of funny quote ones, yeah, too.
We've got a lot of different ones.
No one cares.
I mean, I got some Sparty. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The pink, no one cares, is also a pretty good one. I just like the, this is like, I like the, this is kind of a, see how it's kind of shaped? I don't know why. I just like drinking out of this one.
This is you saying you are truly a Lions fan.
Yes.
We know you bleed blue.
It's a cry for help.
Ron on the text line says, I see why J-Rob is trying to sign AJ now. AJ didn't have the best season last year, so going to try to sign him now before he has a really good season because he's going to want and deserve more money. This is coming from Ron on the text line.
Well, I agree. I mean, right now, yeah, you can look at it both ways because AJ Brown could also like get hurt and have like 600 receiving yards this season,
sure,
you know, and that could hurt him in negotiations. But the way things are trending, the way he's played right now, given his production, as Corey said, he hasn't had an 1,100-yard season. The numbers, if you're a, you know, a general NFL fan, doesn't watch a lot of Titans football, and you're comparing everything statistically, then you're wondering why people are talking about this much money for A.J. Brown. If you actually watch him play football, you don't wonder. But I agree that the timing right now should be in the favor of the Titans to get this done before he has the 1,600-yard season that makes it clear to everyone that he's one of the top receivers in the game. I think that's in him. He does have to stay healthy, and that's the big question.
Austin from Clarksville texting in says, what running backs should the Titans look to bring in the draft? I am interested with Darrington Evans now gone. I know you've got, obviously, Dontrell Hilliard's back, and you've got Derrick Henry hopefully healthy coming back as well. But I am interested to see now with Foreman gone, is there a running back that catches their eye maybe later in the draft? Like, I don't expect them to take a running back with their first few picks in the draft, but is there a running back somewhere down the line that the Titans maybe take a flyer on in this draft? Maybe, I don't know, what do you think about Ty Chandler, fifth round?
Yeah, it's something like that. You're not going to get, you know, the Breece Halls, the Kenneth Walkers, guys like that are going to go higher. You know, what kind of back are you looking for? Are you looking for a replacement for what you thought you had in Darrington Evans? That kind of guy who's a real contrast to Derrick Henry, or because of what Deontay Foreman did, and because, look, I mean, there are bigger questions now moving forward about Derrick Henry. Do you look to get someone more in that mold? I think Ty Chandler, that's not a bad idea later in the draft. And there's a lot of guys out there,
yeah,
you know, who could be decent players. Another Iowa guy, Tyler Goodson, you know, like those Iowa running backs, they are training camp heroes around here. Jalen Warren from Oklahoma State, Hassan Haskins from Michigan's a pretty good player. I wouldn't be surprised if a pick was used for that. I mean, gosh, Tyler Beatty from Missouri, I'd be interested in him, like where he goes. He basically carried that offense a lot of this year, you know. You forget about guys like that. And that's the thing at that position too. You can find good players later in a draft who can at least be, you know, part of your roster anymore. I wonder, as things move forward, you know, it's like the devaluing of that position. I think you're going to see more and more guys who are like trying to be linebackers or receivers rather than running backs, you know, just because of how that position is perceived and is valued and paid compared to everything else in this league. But still a lot of good backs right now.
Still a lot of good backs. And if you're the Titans, you know, hopefully Dontrell Hilliard's that guy that you feel good about this year as your third down back or your backup, whatever role you want to distinguish him as. But, again, I mean, you're relying, and we've talked about this last week, there's so much of this team is relying on Derrick Henry coming back and not only being healthy, but being the Derrick Henry that we've seen in years past, and we'll see whether or not he can do that. I am interested, you know, the quarterback part of this. You know, it's mock draft season, and there continues to be – basically like two quarterbacks being selected in the first round for most of these mock drafts that are being tossed out there. Like, could you find a Carson Strong or a Matt Corral or somebody later in the draft that you really feel good about? Will Desmond Ridder be there at number 26 if you feel really good about him? I'm interested. At some point, do the Titans take a draft or take a quarterback in this draft? Like, I'm not convinced it's going to be in the first round, even though I guess it could. But at some point, do you take a quarterback maybe in the third round that you feel good about if you're the Titans? As Corey said, I'm really interested to see how that plays out.
But see, I don't like the idea of, yeah, we like Carson Strong and he's there, let's take him. Like, you got to feel this is the guy about the quarterback. And if you happen to love Carson Strong and you can actually get him there, hey, good for you. But I wouldn't use a pick on a quarterback because it's like, hey, I like this guy, let's give it a shot. If that's how you look at it, then keep building around your current quarterback and your everything you have, and keep going with the mindset of, you know, compliment your current quarterback, you know, get a good defensive player, get a good reserve corner or whatever, you know, for the defense. I mean, it's got to be conviction that this is the next quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. And if you happen to love Carson Strong, and I'm not convinced he's going in the third round, but that seems to be where people think he's going right now. What a bonus that would be to be able to get him in the third.
Yeah. Hey, you can find quarterbacks in the third round, man. Russell Wilson, he was there. Brady was a sixth rounder.
Indeed. Yeah. Decent player. Turned out okay. Kirk Cousins, fourth rounder.
Yeah. You can find him. But I agree with you. Like, if you're just drafting somebody because you're like, oh, okay, well, we feel like this guy could be a good backup. Like, I know we've talked a lot about Logan Woodside here on the program. And maybe you do need an upgrade there at some point, but I don't know that right now in the draft is the time to do that, unless you just love a guy.
Well, and the thing is, they love Logan Woodside, like it or not. And there's really no reason for all of us to question that other than, you know, he hasn't played.
Yeah.
But they love Logan Woodside. Now, should you be confident if he has to be the starting quarterback for an extended period, the Titans are going to win a lot of those games? Probably not. But you don't draft a quarterback just to upgrade at the two.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get into a wild weekend of college basketball in the Final Four. Look ahead to the championship game as well. Speaking of the championship game, the final night of this crazy college basketball season is finally here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers a $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right, you'll get $150 in bonus site credit, and all you have to do is place your first bet of $5 or more. How you bet the championship game is up to you. You can choose from the money line, totals, prop bets, and so much more. North Carolina taking on Kansas. It's been quite the run for North Carolina. Really fun game the other night against Duke. But I think I like Kansas in this matchup. They shot the ball so well the other night against Villanova. I think Kansas cuts down the nets. But you could take it any way you want to take it. Just join FanDuel today with promo code ROB. Then you can place your $5 bet to score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Coach, as you walked off the court for the final time, can you describe the emotions that you were feeling?
Just for my players, you know, I'll deal with me later. For me, my entire time coaching, I always wanted at the end of the year or whatever the last game is, where you're either crying for joy or you're crying for sorrow. And if you are, that means you've put everything into it. And I have a bunch of kids who are crying, and I'm proud of them. They've been a joy to coach, and they've played winning basketball, and they did tonight too, but so did the other team.
That was Coach K on Saturday night after he fell 81-77 to the North Carolina Tar Heels. Second consecutive victory for North Carolina against Duke to close out the season, and Coach K finishes 50-50. All time, 100 matchups, 50-50 all time against North Carolina. What did you think of that one on Saturday night between Duke and UNC?
Yeah, just blown away by how good it was. Ultimately, I just it's one of those things that you may get sick of hearing all the hype during a given week, but you certainly are looking forward to the game and you're hoping it can live up to this impossible standard. And it did. I guess the only, you know, the only thing that could have been better, of course, would be, you know, an actual like buzzer beater, kind of like the last shot make or miss, you know, to decide the game. Someone put up Saturday night, better semifinal game, this or Gonzaga UCLA from a year ago. And Gonzaga UCLA from a year ago, for people who remember the finish, just holy cow, incredible.
Jalen Suggs, yeah.
Might have been a, yeah. I mean, standing on the table, hitting the shot, like crazy. So I'd say maybe that game was better, but again, it's so hard to live up to this. Am I going robo?
You did for a second, but you're good now.
Yeah. Gosh darn this. This Wi-Fi. Now my train of thought has been broken. By the way, I just got an email from someone too who's offering an alternative to AAA. So
that's good.
Didn't take long. Yeah. But I mean, I think I would rank this above that one just because of the what it means, you know.
Yeah,
this is one of the best rivalries in sports, and it has been ended by North Carolina.
You think it's officially over? They beat Coach K, and the rivalry is just over at this point. Roy Williams looked pretty happy in the stands, by the way.
Oh my gosh! Like he never cared this much about winning his own games. What would Duke have to do to have bragging rights in this rivalry?
I guess probably beat him in a national title game. I don't know. It's a high bar.
Like, they got to win about 40 in a row now.
Yeah. Just keep smoking North Carolina, which, by the way, like, Hubert Davis looks pretty good right now. It looks like North Carolina is going to be in a good spot. We'll see if they can finish it off tonight against Kansas. But, you know, I think you're feeling good if you're a North Carolina fan about what he is and what he could be moving forward. And now with Coach K gone, there's going to be a question of, like, all right, if you're Duke, can you maintain – this success that you've had under Coach K with Shire coming in. I'm really interested to see how that part of it plays out.
And I could be wrong, but I've been kind of underwhelmed by that hire from the start. We'll see. Yeah, it's who knows? He's a really good player. He's one of a million former Duke players who have been assistants for Coach K. Obviously, there's a reason he picked him. He had a lot of – you knew he was going to stay in the family, right, just like North Carolina did. Had a lot of other good options, including people who have been head coaches, but I don't know, man. I think it might be tough for him, especially now with Hubert Davis doing what he's done and having this momentum. And Hubert Davis, of course, I remember him as a player, but as a broadcaster, he was really good. He's got a visibility about him and I think the likability factor with him is real high. And it could be tough for Shire. But again, it's both of these programs are going to get their players. We know this. They're going to continue to get players and then see who coaches them up better.
So what do you think of the matchup tonight, looking ahead at the national title game? North Carolina taking on Kansas. Kansas, by the way, pretty much dominated Villanova from start to finish in that game on Saturday as well. They shot the ball really well in the first half. They finished the game with a 54% conversion rate from three. You're shooting over 50% from three, it's probably going to be a good night for you on most occasions, and Kansas was dominant the other day. What do you make of this matchup in the national title game tonight between North Carolina and the Jayhawks?
Yeah, Kansas did to Villanova what Villanova did to Kansas 4 years ago. When I think Villanova hit 18 threes in that game, like 18 out of 40. They're ridiculous. Like, you have no chance of beating that team. I don't even think Kansas played poorly, and they gave up 95 points. And that happens sometimes. I think Kansas is a better team, and I think Kansas should win tonight. And I think that North Carolina is in a very rare position of most of America thinking of North Carolina as the good guy in a national championship game against another team. That's very hard to achieve in North Carolina.
That is. I don't know if I totally agree with you, though. I think they were looking at the good guy against Duke. I mean, it's not like Kansas has been like some power that's won national titles left and right as of right. So I don't know. I think there could be a few more Kansas fans than you think out there tonight.
Well, they haven't been winning national titles, but they're always there.
They are.
Right? They're always loaded. And Bill Self is correct when he says, you know, we've had too many good teams that only have one title. But also, Bill Self is, I mean, the evidence against Bill Self and the NCAA sanctions that are going to come in some form, it's just a smidge below the Will Wade situation. It's just that he didn't say anything outrageous like Will Wade did on the FBI tapes. I mean, he completely implicated himself, and it's just – so to me, does that not have any kind of factor in the rooting interests of America? Or people
– I mean, it does, but like – there's been so much cheating in college basketball for so long. Like, do you think people really care anymore? I don't know. That's a legitimate question I have. I have no clue.
Yeah.
Well, I think they care if it's not your coach.
Well, could be that.
Yeah, well, right. Like, everybody cares if, like, there's a particular recruit that your team didn't get, and then the other team, even if they cheated or not, they're cheaters. You know, there's that. I don't know. The Bill Self thing is interesting to me because – I think for so long he was perceived one way, and while like Calipari was perceived the other way, and they are in the exact same boat. By the way, speaking of Calipari, Kentucky, tell me the number, Michelle. Kentucky beat these two teams by a combined 47 points.
47 points.
So, and do you find solace in that, or does that bother you?
No, it bothers the heck out of me. Oh, it makes me so infuriated. And away, not even in Rupp.
Just ran into the buzzsaw. It was St. Peter's.
Absolutely unacceptable. I'm no longer, just kidding, I could never say that.
Fire cow.
No.
Yep.
Nope, I think I'm good with that one.
There actually was some fire cow stuff a couple weeks ago, which I know there's emotion.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of it.
Is that calmed down now in BBN?
I think with some it has, yes. But no, it's still there.
Well, some Kentucky fans are like, oh, well, we feel better because we beat both of those teams. No, you don't feel better if you beat both the teams in the national championship because it just shows how bad you fell off the wagon in March. So doesn't actually matter.
Those darn peacocks.
Our coach outplayed.
Ruining it everywhere. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. A weekend sweep for the Tennessee Vols against the Vandy boys over the weekend at Hawkins Field, and it was not without controversy. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning at 8:45. We have Darren McFarland coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators. Big week coming up this week for the Predators starting tomorrow at home against Minnesota. And speaking of that game, we got some tickets to give away in the Game Changer section to see the Preds take on the Minnesota Wild coming up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets in the Game Changer section to see the Preds take on the Minnesota Wild at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. 615-737-1025. Joe, quite the impressive weekend this weekend at Hawkins Field for the Tennessee Vols. They sweep Ole Miss last week. They sweep Vanderbilt this week. Tony Vitello and company coming in. The pitching was outstanding. They got some timely hits, some timely home runs, including, Joe, some home runs that were a little bit controversial on Friday night with Jordan Beck hitting a home run, getting called back with a bat that was deemed illegal at the time in terms of the sticker apparently not being on the bat. You know, all the bats go through their pregame inspections, and apparently Jordan Beck's did not have the sticker on his. So what did you make of, number one, the performance by the Vols this weekend, sweeping Tim Corbin and the Vandy boys, and number two, the controversy that has now come with it with Tennessee and their bat situation as they move forward here?
Yeah, two very different things, and to me, they're not really related in terms of the performance of Tennessee. Tennessee was spectacular, and I think is spectacular. 27-1, 9-0 in the SEC, and this series was all about their starting pitching. It was phenomenal, and it's a freshman, a sophomore, and a freshman. And the guy who was supposed to be their staff ace didn't pitch at all this weekend, just coming off an injury. They didn't need him. And the guy who throws 103 miles an hour, which, frankly, I'm kind of ticked about this. I wanted to see Ben Joyce at least get one appearance and see this, see if he could hit 104 on the gun. Well, the balls didn't need him either. They were spectacular on the mound, and this is the favorite to win the national championship. Doesn't mean they will, but I expect to see him in Omaha, and I bet you they do a little better than they did last year. And that what was a huge breakthrough for them to get to Omaha. Tony Vitello has built something here that we're going to see Tennessee and Omaha more than once or twice in the next few years.
Oh yeah,
and look, it's and I think we're going to see Vanderbilt in Omaha, and maybe this year, but certainly in the future. It's a great rivalry, but look, Tennessee is just a lot better right now. So. Their defense was great. I mean, seriously, they made some terrific plays. I mean, doubling up Enrique Bradfield, as Tony Vitello said Saturday, he's like, I didn't even think that was possible with that guy. You know, if you go back to last year's series with Spandy 1, 2, or 3, Bradfield basically just wrecked the Sunday game, which we both forgot Vanderbilt won. But then I look back, oh, that's right, Enrique Bradfield had like six stolen bases. And, you know, like – but – Tennessee's way better. They're really good. They are a legit national championship contender. Don't be confused by that. They have everything. They play defense. They hit. They hit for power. And, of course, that's the whole thing with the bat. They are the nation-leading home run team. The bat gets confiscated. This weekend also showed us how dumb the system is, in my opinion. And I did write about this at theathletic.com, by the way.
There you go.
It's a stupid system. Like, so you're going to spend all this time, you're going to have these pregame testing things with the bats, and then both sides, you could put the verified sticker on the bat. So that's a bat you can use in a game. And then the sticker is not there on Beck's bat. It's noticed by Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt was looking for it. I think that's pretty obvious. The SEC was looking for it. The SEC put it out last week. That make sure, you know, we're looking carefully at these stickers, and Auburn had just had a bat confiscated. So it gets taken away, and then rather than test that bat to let people know one way or the other, Jordan Beck heard all weekend how he's a cheater. That kid, every time he got up, I mean, it was just cat calls, and he is the biggest cheater in the world. So if his bat was a fine bat that just lost its sticker, test the bat and tell us, and then it's over.
Yeah.
If it was a manipulated bat that didn't have a sticker on it, we'll test the bat and also punish him, and then you probably won't have to worry about this stuff much longer. But instead, it's like, okay, you have this huge blow up, Tony Vitello screaming at the umps, and they take the bat away, and everybody's all fired up. And then at the end of the series, Tennessee, here's a bat. Okay, here, take the bat. This could be the most doctored bat in the history of baseball. Here you go. I don't understand it. If it's such a small deal, which is how that tells you it is, then don't go through all this dog and pony show with the stickers and some huge thing where a home run's taken off the board. Do we care about it or do we not care about it?
It is kind of amazing. Like you go through this big ordeal, as you said, like Vitello was losing it coming outside, running out of the dugout, trying to get the bat back in his hands. You put the bat up all weekend long, and then you just hand it straight back to him. Nothing's happened since then. It could have been nothing wrong with it all. I mean, they could have been hitting with Thor's hammer out there. Who knows what that bat looks like. But just nothing's happened to it at this point. It's kind of amazing how they just basically put the bat in timeout all weekend and then handed it straight back to Tennessee and said, here you go. We don't really know what's going on now with it, but you just take it and do with it what you will.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you can even make it a little bit more powerful now here. That's a good start. Now take it back and you can really shave some metal off it. I don't know. I've learned so much about bat manipulation. It's not like the old days when, you know, Howard Johnson would put tennis balls in his bat and hit like 800-foot home runs as a not very huge guy in MLB. I love Howard Johnson, by the way. Shout out Howard Johnson.
That's right.
Nashvillian, former Tiger. Sad when they traded him away. But there's a lot of things you can do. And look, that's the thing. Nothing should detract from what Tennessee did this weekend. They were a dominant baseball team. They're number one. They should be number one. I don't care if they get swept this next series. They should still be number one. They're 27-1. And it's sad that what's going to happen is Vanderbilt fans or other fans are like, they're cheaters. those cheaters, you know, that nothing should detract from what they are. So, yeah, this whole thing is, but this whole thing is just going to create that situation. Now, again, if there was something fishy, well, then I think that there should be punishment and that should be made public. But that's not how they do it. It's just weird. And the reality is with bat manipulation, I mean, there are high school baseball players too, who, hey, I can get about 30 more feet on it. So, you know, warning track shot, maybe yep. I get 3-4 more homers. But this happens. People are always looking for an edge. And if I'm a college baseball player thinking about rolling my bat, getting a little bit extra juice on it, and seeing what happened this weekend, I am not afraid to do it. I mean, what's okay, great. So maybe they'll be looking for it and they'll actually say, I mean, Vanderbilt was looking for this. I'm confident of that. The catcher grabbed it, showed it to the ump. So, you know, short of that, if I'm a player, you know, you can have whatever bat you want in the dugout. It's just that you have to have the one that you come to the plate has to have the sticker on it. I wouldn't be all that worried about doing it if I had a sweet bat that just didn't have the right sticker on it. I mean, nothing about this weekend deters that kind of behavior, and in fact, it might even encourage it.
On the other side of things, what do you think of Vanderbilt and where they go from here? You've lost 2 of 3 to South Carolina. Now you've been swept by Tennessee as well. You're 4-5 in SEC play. What do you make of Tim Corbin and company and where they go from here at this point?
Well, look, Tim Corbin, as we know, takes losses up not well. You know, one of his quotes from yesterday is, quote, I just want to take a hammer and hit myself over the head, end quote. he told reporters a brief, you know, I mean, he does not take losing well. I'm sure it's worse when you get swept. This is the first time they've been swept at home in SEC series since 2009. Okay, so this doesn't happen. By the way, 2009, there was Tennessee bat stuff then, which who knows? Was it real? Was it not real? Who knows? Because college baseball just lets everybody just keep guessing and calling each other cheaters. But I think Vanderbilt's going to be fine. They have lost 5 SEC games in a row. They're 4-5 after a 4-0 start. And their lineup, I saw there were a lot of weak at-bats, I would say, this weekend. I put that more on Tennessee's great pitching, but they got to figure some stuff out there. I think the most encouraging thing is their starting pitchers, including their own hotshot freshman, Carter Holton. I thought he battled back from some tough stuff and pitched well. Chris McElvain deserved better. He got 2 balls. He just get lost in the lights,
yep,
or lost in the weird sky. And those are, you know, they scored his hits. Nobody touched him. So he gets these earned runs that shouldn't be on his record. But I thought he pitched really well. Patrick Riley yesterday, encouraging. So if the rotation shapes up like it looked like it did this weekend, I think they're going to be just fine. They're going to be right there. This is a team that has more than enough talent to also get to Omaha, and who knows, maybe get another shot at the balls down the road. But right now, there's a pretty big gap between these teams.
Well, and we'll see if Tennessee can keep that going. You mentioned it. I mean, they've got some decisions to make coming up too. Blake Tidwell coming back in the rotation. Are you going to leave him in the bullpen? Is he going to be a starter at any point again? I mean, if I'm Tony Vitello, I'm probably not messing with too much right now with the way things have been going for your starting rotation. So that to me is interesting. Like, where is, for Tennessee, where is Tidwell going to fit in coming down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even need him this weekend. Yeah. You know, Drew Beam yesterday is like, hey, you know, if he takes his spot in the lineup, yeah, his rightful spot, then I'm fine with it. I'm like, I wouldn't even think about taking this guy. I mean, Vanderbilt might have hit 2 baseballs hard yesterday. Complete game shutout, completely stifled everything. I mean, the energy from Vanderbilt fans by the end of the series was just like slumped over. I mean, the whistler wasn't even whistling. He's just sitting there sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was – and Drew Beam had everything to do with that yesterday with his – the art of pitching, man. He is fantastic. So they're – I think to me, Tidwell now becomes a really good middle relief arm until one of these starters falters. And it's just an embarrassment of riches for this team. I mean, this team is the favorite to win the national championship.
When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators as they head into a big matchup tomorrow against Minnesota. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.